Sorry. I don't know if I've ever done that on the podcast.
That was mighty.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and I'm back again with Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
So, Chris, I don't know about you, but I feel like a lot of people feel the stress of this time of year, of the holidays. Like, we just wrapped up Thanksgiving, and now we're getting into, like, the Christmas season. It's busy. You have to deal with family. And that can cause a lot of stress.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is that time of year where every year I go into it thinking, man, I'm going to make this is the year that I'm not, I'm going to enjoy it this year. And it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought today would be the perfect time to take a deep breath. See what I did there?
I like that.
And talk about a way that we can manage stress. And you don't have to buy anything, you don't have to go anywhere, because it's only using your lungs and the way that you breathe.
And I'm glad we're talking about this today, Carly. We talked about doing an episode on breathing for a while now, just kind of offline of what that would mean, because it seems too simple to really be effective. And sometimes it's used, like, you know, in derision, like, you know, hey, take a breath, you know, kind of stuff. But it really, I know just from some of the work I've done with counselors and with mental health professionals, they talk a lot about how we are shallow breathers just in the modern age. We don't focus on our breathing. We are so busy that we really only just breathe in a shallow way. And so there's a whole bunch of our lungs that just kind of go unused. And when you do these techniques in a lot of ways, you are accessing part of your lungs that maybe haven't been used in a while. And getting better oxygen flow to your blood, opening all that stuff up, all stuff that's just good for the brain and good for blood pressure and good for just the stress response of the body. And so we have several things we want to talk through today, and I'm excited that we're going to do this.
Yeah, as I was doing research, I feel like you've done more work on this, Chris, than me. So you're going to kind of be the expert today. But as I was doing some research, like, I found that, like, improper breathing can upset, obviously, our oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange. It can add to anxiety, panic attacks, fatigue, and other disturbances. But then I also read that as little as 90 seconds of deep breathing can stimulate, like, a physiological relaxation. Response. And so, like, that's all it takes to, like, lower that stress hormone, to lower your blood pressure, your heart rate, all of this stuff. And so it really doesn't even take that much time, but it can make a really big difference.
Yeah. And before we get too far into this, one thing I'll say is there's really good technology out there for deep breathing, different deep breathing exercise. I mean, there's an app called Breathwork. There's all kinds of different apps that, you know, some of you can subscribe to. Sometimes you can just look up a YouTube clip and it will walk you through a breathing exercise. I mean, the resources are boundless on this. Really, what you have to be willing to do is set aside that short amount of time to do this on a regular basis to really get the benefits of this. But I will say just doing it one time, I encourage you just to do it at least one time to see how different you feel, especially if you're anxious or stressed, just to kind of remind yourself, get back in touch with your body on these breathing techniques. So, Carly, I'm going to walk you through these and tell me what you think. And we've got, I think, 6 or 7 here that we're going to walk through. So here's some techniques. First one is present moment breathing. This is taking deep breaths and focusing on how that feels. What it sounds like, and the process of breathing. So basically, there's some mindfulness here in a way, but you're literally slowing down and just paying attention to your breath.
I think box breathing is one that I've heard a lot about as well, Chris. So that's where you breathe in, you pause, you breathe out, and you pause. and you do that for the same, like a box, so think a square, for the same amount of seconds for each one of those. So where I read it is maybe start with 4 seconds for each of those and then move up to 6 seconds where you're breathing in 6 seconds, pausing 6 seconds, breathing out 6 seconds, pausing 6 seconds. And so that could be a technique too, that kind of, like you said, going back to that mindfulness, but allows us to take some good deep breaths.
Yeah. And you'll notice as we go through these, this is about a kind of an intentional regulation of what you are already doing. We breathe, we don't think about breathing at all. And so to be able to put some thought into that essential function of your body and to slow it down enough to, you know, let that heart rate come down a little bit. And that box is, I mean, like you said, it is a physical, if you just want to picture it going up, breathing in, over, breathing out. Mm-hmm. Hold, down, breathing in, hold, over again, breathing out, hold,
mm-hmm.
Is a really powerful reminder of how important it is to breathe. So another one would be the 5-7-3 breathing technique. So you breathe in for 5 seconds, out for 7 seconds, and then pause for 3 seconds. So you're breathing out longer than you're breathing in, mm-hmm. which is really, really interesting. And some of this, and just a second, when I talk about the next one, there's a lot of research showing that slow exhale, a slow controlled exhale, brings the heart rate down. It can't help but not bring your heart rate down when you do that, where you are taking control. Because when you're anxious, what happens? You breathe slower or faster?
Faster.
Yeah, you breathe faster, your heart rate elevates, your blood pressure goes up. And anxiety is that stress response where you're in that almost fight, flight, or freeze mode.
Right.
And so your body has that stress response, is ready, pounce into action. Sometimes it does so unnecessarily. And so this brings that down, that tamps down that anxiety response. And so with that, the next one, and this is by a guy named Andrew Huberman that I listen to his podcast a lot. I highly recommend it. He's super nerdy, super scientific, but has just some really great just health resources. He's a big guy on breathing. And so he has one called The Physiological Sigh. And it's the idea that, and I hadn't even thought about this, but all animals, you know, people, dogs, cats, you'll see just a quick, every now and then just a big kind of a breathe in. You don't realize you do it, right? And so sometimes if you're just kind of breathing and all of a sudden your body does that, that's actually like a physiological response your body has to the carbon, like you mentioned earlier, the carbon dioxide oxygen exchange, where like that's a little bit out of whack, where there's more carbon dioxide in your blood than needs to be, and you're trying to get that out. Your body does that naturally. Well, his method kind of harnesses that, and it's a bit of that and what we talked about, the 5-7-3 breathing, where you take in a deep, deep, deep breath, ideally through your nose. Once you get that deep breath, then you'll do it one more time and get your lungs really full of air, and you hold for a second, and then you breathe out through what you would call pursed lips. So like a, and so you're controlling that breathing out as long as you're able to without gasping for air, and you do it again. So filling those lungs up really, really big, filling them up all the way, and then letting that breath out slowly through pursed lips.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I've done it several times just driving in the car, and there's like lots of traffic or I'm stressed out or whatever. And it really does work. It's a easy, free, and no one even really knows you're doing it kind of technique. Now, the next one's a little wild, Carly, I'll tell you. And I don't know that I would do some research before you really wholeheartedly get in on this one. And the guy who even does it talks about, hey, don't do this in your car. Don't do this in your bathtub or swimming. Like because, you know, this is almost the opposite of these kind of relaxation. It is about getting a lot of oxygen in your blood, basically. It's called the Wim Hof technique. A guy named Wim Hof is like this crazy Scandinavian old guy who does a lot of cold exposure stuff. But he does this whole breathing technique thing where it's basically about breathing kind of rapidly, but you're doing it for about a minute you're just like, and it's at a certain cadence, and you are basically trying to get that deep lung, like we talked about, the part of lungs mm-hmm. you don't use, and get a lot of oxygen into your blood to kind of reset, because we our breathing is so shallow and we don't get good oxygen into our system. And so there's lots of great YouTube stuff on that. There's a Wim Hof app. Like I said, just do your research on that before, maybe as a parent or helper, try it yourself first before you do it with your teenager. But it's there's nothing inherently dangerous about it. It's a more intense way of breathing for sure. Is a Wim Hof. What do you think about that, Carly, about that rapid fire breathing?
I think that's interesting. I don't know. Like you said, when you get anxious, your breathing does increase. But then there are also things like you've always heard when you're hyperventilating, like breathe into a paper bag mm-hmm. or like, I feel like there's some of that. So intentionally doing that, but doing it in a mindful way, I can see how that could be really helpful mm-hmm. As well. So I'm going to have to check that one out.
I've done that one a few times before too. And it's real buzzy. Like you kind of, when you mm-hmm. do that, you're kind of like, I mean, it's a different kind of relaxation. It's really weird.
Interesting. Now, the one that I've probably used the most is the last one I want to talk about, which is progressive muscle relaxation. And so I do this a lot if I'm like having trouble going to sleep or like my mind is racing. And the idea is that like if you're laying down, you're going to take a deep breath in and then like flex maybe your toes or the muscles of your feet. And then you're going to relax it as you breathe out. And then, so like if you like flex your calf muscles, then you're going to breathe out and relax them. And you keep going up all the way through the muscles of your body mm-hmm. until you kind of, I don't know, get to your head and your eyebrows and your forehead kind of thing. But it's this idea of, once again, kind of mindful breathing, but being aware of your body. The idea of like flexing and then relaxing your muscles is also relaxing. And so that could be a good way, especially if your teenager just kind of has this pent-up tension, to just release all of that.
Because you are listening to this podcast, we can assume a couple of things. One, that you have great taste. And two, that you care about teenagers. That is why we are so excited to introduce you to our sponsor, Lubbock Christian University. Whether you or your teen are interested in furthering your education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect place to start. Contact our friend David Fraes to find out more about LCU and life and ministry to young people at david.fraes@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Chaps!
For the trend this week, Chris, I kind of almost want to go in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And talk about energy drinks. And this is something, obviously, that is not going to cause relaxation. But an energy drink, for those, if you're kind of wondering what's the difference between that, just like a soda, is a beverage that contains large amounts of caffeine, added sugars, other additives, and legal stimulants such as guarana. Am I saying that right? Do you know, Chris?
That looks right. I haven't actually heard of that. Yeah.
Taurine, an L... I sound so smart right now, except I don't, because I don't think I'm saying them right. But basically these stimulants, and they're going to cause obviously an increase in energy, an increase in heart rate. I'm not going to lie, Chris, I am not an energy drink person because I get shaky just on like coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I drink a lot of coffee myself, and so I feel like that would put me over the edge.
Yeah. But it is a big deal with our teenagers. But as I was doing research on this, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that adolescents do not consume any energy drinks, but between 30% and 50% report consuming them.
I wonder if some of that is just that this they're not old enough to enjoy coffee yet. And you know, maybe that taste hasn't gotten there, but that appetite for caffeine definitely is there.
Right. Well, and I think even things like, I know teenagers who do it to help them stay up late at night to study, mm-hmm. or they might take an energy drink before a game, which seems very dangerous to mm-hmm. me. when their heart rate's already going to be accelerated, but they feel like, hey, this is going to give me a boost when I work out, or I'm feeling tired today, or I didn't get enough sleep last night. And we've talked about the last couple of months about sleep disorders and what that looks like, routines and stuff like that. But that's probably also where this is coming in, if they feel like, I am tired all the time, I have to do something. And there are two kinds of energy drinks mostly. They're either sold in like containers that are similar to soft drinks. A lot of times they're in cans, like a 16-ounce can or bottle. But then you'll also see energy shots. Like I know 5-Hour Energy is one of these, mm-hmm. that it's like a little small container that is concentrated liquid. And so you can get these energy drinks in different ways. But just for some comparison, so in energy drinks, you're usually going to get 70 to 240 milligrams of caffeine in a 16-ounce drink. In those energy shots, it can be anywhere from 113 to 200 milligrams of caffeine. And in like a 12-ounce Coke, you would get about 35 milligrams of caffeine. So even at the very lowest level, an energy drink is doubling a Coke.
Wow. And then just a cup of coffee is just 100 milligrams.
Yes. So like if you're getting into some of these energy drinks that contain like the 240 milligrams of caffeine, you're like more than doubling cups of coffee in that one drink. And so I think it's something to be aware of because, like I said, it can increase energy, attention, alertness, but it also increases your blood pressure, your heart rate, and your breathing, which can also be dangerous for teenagers. Also, I talked about that, but it also does like some stuff to your nervous system. I encourage you to go do research into what energy drinks actually do. And maybe if you have a teenager, be like, hey, let's research together. What is this doing in your body? But in 2011, which seems like an old stat to me, but I was having trouble finding more recent stats, there were almost 1,500 teenagers, 12 to 17, who went to an emergency room for an energy drink related emergency.
Mm-hmm. A lot.
So it's not, right. It's not just that, hey, I had too much caffeine today. In some cases, this is actually causing problems big enough that they need to go to an emergency room. So let's talk about some dangers, Chris. Like I've mentioned a few of them, but if you're drinking energy drinks, here could be some dangers. Mm-hmm. And the first one could be dehydration, because you're drinking these energy drinks, but you're not getting enough water in your body. So you might actually see signs of dehydration. And then I've talked about this some, but these heart complications. So you could have irregular heartbeat or even heart failure due to this increase in heart rate.
You could also have anxiety, feeling nervous or jittery. And I think we've all been, we had a little too much coffee that day, jittery. Insomnia is a big one, especially drinking any kind of caffeine past noon is kind of what they talk about, the half-life of caffeine. It just it's too long to really get out of your system before it's time to go to sleep. And so if you're drinking stuff past noon, you're going to have a lot of problems trying to fall asleep. And people who combine caffeinated drinks with alcohol may not be able to tell how intoxicated they are. They might feel less intoxicated if they had not consumed caffeine, but their motor coordination and reaction time may be just as impaired. So those kind of mixture drinks, which they sometimes get outlawed because, you know, they're pretty potent. But really combining alcohol and caffeine really confuses your system.
Yeah. And so I think that's a good conversation to have with your teenagers, because that might be something where they're like, sweet, I'll have an energy drink and add some liquor to that and kill two birds with one stone. And that could be really dangerous for lots of different reasons. So have that conversation. But I do want to talk about some things that we can do, whether you're a parent or you work at a school. I do think like our school system has gotten way better about not providing energy drinks at school. I think for a while that was kind of trendy to have energy drinks at schools. And I feel like that's not the norm anymore. That like buying Cokes and stuff or even energy drinks at school, like in the cafeteria, shouldn't be the norm. But educate students on the danger of consuming too much caffeine, including energy drinks. So it could just be, hey, you're drinking 6 Cokes a day. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, you're drinking 1 energy drink. Let's have a conversation. I also think it's important to educate athletes on the difference between energy drinks and sports drinks and like the dangers of consuming these highly caffeinated beverages, especially before they work out, because that's not what that's intended to do.
Well, too, I think for them to be able to spot the marketing as well. And so if something is being marketed as a sports drink, make sure that it's not actually an energy drink being mismarketed, which does happen.
Yes, it does. I also think providing healthy beverages, milk, water, 100% juice, making sure that they have resources available to them that aren't just energy drinks. So like if you're a parent, not stocking your home with energy drinks. Or like I said, if you're a school, making sure that there are lots of healthy options that aren't just going to be sugar and caffeine. And then I also think that parents, community members, school staff can join like committees that set these policies. That's, like I said, been a big push for like getting healthy options into our schools, making sure that we're looking at nutrition standards and that it fits what is best for our kids and not what's being marketed to our kids. Mm-hmm. And so make sure you're having those kind of conversations. And like Chris said, know that you're being marketed to. They're trying to sell to you. And so they're going to say whatever it takes to make that sound appealing. And then finally, I think everyone can model good behavior by not consuming energy drinks in front of kids. And so if you are an adult and you have to have your energy drink to make it through the day, maybe that's something that you don't do in front of your kids, especially if it's not something that you want them to pick up as a young person, because they're not going to know the difference between like, oh, it's okay for them to have it and not me. And so that might be something you do as well. But basically, I want y'all to have conversations about energy and how we get our energy. We did an episode a few weeks ago about some ways to boost energy in healthy ways and in natural ways. And so maybe go back and listen to that podcast with your teenager and talk about what can we be doing in other areas of our life to make sure you don't need that like false and fake energy. For the tip this week, I want to talk about some reframing thoughts. So I feel like we've talked about this before, Chris, of if you're thinking this, try this instead. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to hit 3, especially maybe this time of year, if you're feeling stressed or especially with finals coming up, if you have seniors, they might be ready. They're writing college applications. There's just a lot of stress that comes along with that. And so I wanted to hit a few of these reframing tactics that might be helpful for your teen.
All right.
So the first one, if they're kind of saying, I can't do it anymore, that feeling of stress and being overwhelmed, maybe try, I will ask for help when I'm overwhelmed. And encouraging them of like, if you feel like you can't do it, then maybe it's time to ask for help.
Love that. Yeah. So just the isolating feeling of being overwhelmed is bringing someone else into it right away. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe instead of I can't do anything right, try I can learn from my mistakes. So just simply reframing of like, hey, you made a mistake and we're going to learn from it. We're going to move forward and we're probably not going to do that again.
Right.
And so that could be a great way to reframe that one as well.
Finally, instead of that person is way better than me, try, what can I learn to help me in this area? So instead of resigning yourself that you'll never be as good as that person over there, then maybe we frame it as, what do I have to learn to make me better?
Yeah, I love that.
So with that, Carly, that's a wrap. And we have thoroughly enjoyed this episode of trying to find new ways to decrease our stress and be healthier as we work with our adolescents. If you enjoy this episode or any of our other episodes, please subscribe. Also follow us on social media. We have a great social media presence with a lot of resources and supporting material to this podcast. Review us on your favorite podcast app. Tell people what you think. It helps people find our podcast. Share with a friend. Word of mouth is always huge, so we love to have you share how much you love this podcast. And thank you for joining us, and we will see you guys next week.